money. The man replied, I'll have you to know I'm a U.S. congressman. He says, okay, well then give me back my money then. Police officer stopped the car and told the man, says, your taillight's out, your tires are bad, and your bumper's hanging down on the right side. Says that'll be a cost you $300. The man says, go ahead and fix it. Said they wanted $600 at the garage. In Acts, the 22nd chapter, is something that we as people today take for granted, a statement that's made in there, and we want to look at that statement, and that is the cost of freedom. There are many things we take for granted as citizens of the United States of America. I mean, we come and go when and where we want to, as we please, don't have to ask anyone. But there are other countries where they cannot leave a certain distance from their home without written consent and written permission. There's a lot of other things that we take for granted. And that is our freedom to be who we are. So the question comes to my mind, is freedom really free? Is freedom really free? When you think about that, as we think about those who have paid the price for us so that we could have, and I guess we could say, enjoy the freedom that we have, certainly we know that freedom is not free. And as we think about that from the spiritual standpoint, for those who have freedom in Christ Jesus, we know that we say that the gospel, that the responding to Jesus Christ does not cost anyone anything. No money, nothing involved, but it really cost them their life. So freedom, is it really free? The freedom that Jesus talked about, the freedom that Paul talked about, the freedom that he preached about is something that we can understand today. Galatians 5:1, this is also kind of going along with our text tonight. Paul alludes, he says, stand therefore in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ hath, H-A-T-H, that means there's past action with present and future results, hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Those at Galatia, they had gone back into Judaism. They had picked up some of the teachings of the law, and they had made their salvation and really their freedom of none effect because they were not living in the freedom in which they had in Christ Jesus. And I believe today there are many Christians who are still bound and not free to do what Christ would have them to do because they are bound by some problem, something that we don't understand. I shared with a prayer group a while ago that we in America, there's less than 6% of the world's population live in America. But we consume over 80% of the drugs, or not just the prescription drug, but the, I can't even call the name of them. They come from India, I mean, in China anyhow. But we consume over 80% of those kind of drugs. In other words, I'm talking about those that affect our really who we are and what we do and numb our reality who we are. The thing about it is there are many people who are bound to and consumed with things in which they put into their bodies and they do not have freedom. But in our text tonight, we're going to see some things. So if you want to stand for the reading of the God words and remain standing for prayer in Acts 22, starting in verse 22, we want to read through the remainder of the chapter. This is what it says. And they gave him audience unto this word. This is when Paul was giving his testimony of those who had falsely accused him. And they had given him audience unto this word. And that word was that he was going unto the Gentiles. And then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined. And that term examined there really means beaten by scourging. that he might know whereof they cry so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was free born. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have been examined or beaten him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, we bow tonight to give you thanks for this day, for the awesome privilege of life to live, really live, because of the freedom we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we come tonight to thank you and to honor you, to praise you for all that you make possible. Lord, the singing that we've heard tonight, dealing with the salvation that we have through him. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can come to you and we can worship you tonight. And we come to do that and that alone. We pray, Lord, that you will meet with us in a very special way through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, and you would bring about that which is needed in each and every one of our lives. Lord, starting at the pulpit and going out in the pews, have your will accomplished, O God, is our heart's desire and prayer. And Lord, tonight as we come to your throne of grace, we pray, Lord, for those who are less fortunate, those who are hurting tonight, those who have been mentioned in our prayer rooms and prayer circles. You know each one and you know the situation, and we know that you have the solution and the problem. And Lord, so many times we look to you and we count and we turn to you and trust you, because we know that you're the only one that can help and be of service and aid in such a time as this. So Father, tonight we come depending upon you to work in those lives that are mentioned tonight in the prayer room and prayer list, and the families that's suffering because of the loss of loved ones. And we just pray, God, that you'd uphold them with your spirit and guide and direct them. And Lord, tonight as we look together in your word, we pray that through it you'll draw us ever near and closer to you and to each other, that we may share in this bond of love and this freedom that we have in Christ Jesus to carry the gospel throughout the world. God, would you do that which only you can? And even now, we're going to thank you and praise you, because we ask it in Jesus' strong name and for his sake alone. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we think about the situation Paul is in, and he finds himself, listen to me, he finds himself in some situations. The reason I think that Paul found himself in the situations he found himself in is because of his stand that he took for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we would find ourselves in some more strenuous and difficult situations if we took a better and more firm stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, listen to me, I believe that we're standing in the brink and the precipice of a time that the church must stand up and be counted in America. I believe that we need to let people know who we are, whose we are, and who we belong to, and what the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something, there is no hope in this world for anything that we can desire. No. Because we see the things that's going on around us. Look very close at our passage of Scripture. Note, first of all, the fuss of the freedom. In verses 22 to 24, Paul had just explained to them how they could be free. He told them, literally gave his testimony of his life before he met Jesus Christ, what happened when he met Jesus Christ, and his life after he met Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, if you've got a testimony, that is exactly what it must be. That is exactly what we need to share with lost people, what Jesus Christ, before I met him, what my life was like. But I don't mean to go in great details about it, but just tell them the scope of it, what it meant, how our life had no meaning, no purpose, no really worth living. And then what happened when we met Jesus Christ and he changed and transformed our life. And then what he's doing in our life in the present tense, in the right here and now. And that's what Paul did. If you look at his testimony, each time he gave it, that's exactly what he shared with them. So he had told them already what it meant to be free, what it meant to have freedom in Christ Jesus. First of all, freedom is no good unless it is received. Did you know that? It is no good unless it is received. When a person does not understand the scope of what it means to be free, they cannot be free. But in the term of, if we look at it very close in what it means to be free and what this, the term in our scripture tonight of how this captain and the freedom that he had purchased, but we're talking about a deeper and a more meaningful freedom, and that is the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever I say that, I say it very emphatically because he is the only one that can really free individuals in the bondage there in whatever it may be, period. He alone can do that. Freedom is only as good as the one who is doing the freeing, or the freer. I put freer up there. I don't know whether it's a good word or not. But it's only good as the one who gives the freedom. Last year it was, me and Uncle Lester was headed to town, and when we went by the couch place, he owns that couch place, and there's some ladies out there picking up pecans, and that he belonged, it belonged to him. And so we stopped, and we asked him about, says, who told y'all could pick? Oh, there's a lady up the road here. She told us we could have all the pecans here we wanted. Says, who was it? Well, I don't know what her name is, but she's a red-headed lady. She told us we could have all the pecans we wanted. Well, the thing about it was it wasn't a red-headed lady's pecans. It's Uncle Lester's. So he kindly let them have what they had and told them to please not pick up any more. But that's happened two or three times over there. But the thing about it is our freedom, when we think of our freedom is only as good as the one who made it possible for us. And let me tell you something. Jesus makes a freedom for us that is eternal and everlasting. We begin with a new life, a new perspective on life, when we understand that we are no longer bound by sin, we are no longer bound by the things of sin, because we have been set free through what Jesus Christ accomplished for us at the cross. That is why he gave his life on the cross. He's the one who is the freer. If anyone knew what it meant to be in bondage, I believe Paul did. I believe he understood what it meant to be in bondage, even though he was very religious. Very, very religious. Nicodemus was very, very religious. And Jesus told him in the third chapter of John, he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. And you must be, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. So the whole scope of it is, as someone can be in a position and not realize they're in bondage. But see, Nicodemus was in bondage to the religion he had. Paul was in bondage to the religion he had. And let me tell you today, there are many people that are bound by their religion and the action of their religion. We just heard this week, Stephen said they'd come to his house this Saturday. Those who will come around and they try to tell you about or to get you sold out on Watchtower, and they're bound. They don't understand they're bound, but they're bound to the teaching of the Watchtower. Every time I see them, I say, get in the Word. It's what you need to do. Get in the Word. Throw that scrap, that mess out. Get in the Word. That's what I told them last time they come. Had a good conversation with them. When we left there, the old man said, I have heard a lot of people talk, but he says, I've never heard anybody tell us to get in the Word. They had went to my son's house, and the two younger ones got out that time. And Joseph had his gun, BB gun. And Alan said something, said, the Jehovah Witnesses out there. He says, I've got my gun. You want me to shoot them? They got back in the car and they left. Oh, I know what it means to be shot, don't rhyme. We won't go into that. But the thing about it is, people who are in bondage, and they are in bondage in their religion. because that's exactly what they eat, live, breathe, and that's exactly what Paul did. He knew and understood there on that Damascus road what it meant to be free to really live life the way that God intended it to be lived. He thought all this time when he was in that religion that he was doing this prescribed things along life's way, and he thought that's what it was all about, when all the time he was kicking against the pricks, as Jesus told him. You're going against the will of God, against the purpose of God. And so, friend, let me tell you something. There are many people today who are so absorbed in their religious activities that they are bound to it and they do not know what freedom is all about. Many people. Paul knew what it meant to be free. He knew what it meant to have that freedom in Christ Jesus the Lord. Note the freedom that he bought. This is the chief captain. See, he was not born a citizen of Rome. He says that in verse 28. But he also longed for something better. So what did he do? What he did is he bought his citizenship. This is a very, very detailed thing for someone to do. See, we see it was cost him a great sum. That's what he says there. And if we look at it, study it very close, there was a set amount given, kind of like buying a car. There was a set amount, like a down payment, and then you paid installments as you lived to be a Roman citizen. You had certain criteria you had to meet. You were obligated, if you please. This means that they lived in bondage as they were before, kind of like all the ites in the Old Testament, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, all those ites lived in bondage to Israel after they were captured. Turn back to 2 Chronicles. I've been reading through 2 Chronicles. Turn there just a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 17. This is after Solomon's king of the land. It says, and Solomon numbered all the strangers that were in the land of Israel after the numbering wherewith David his father had numbered them, and they were found 150,000 and 3,600. And he set 70,000 of them to be bearers of burdens, and 80,000 to be hewers in the mountain, and 3,600 overseers to set people to work at work. So we see here they were under, I guess we could say, the blessing of Israel, but yet they were those who were burdened because of what they had to do, because of their task that they carried on. This is kind of the way it was in the day when Rome come in control. And this is what he did. He purchased his citizenship. He had longed for something better, so he did something about it. He paid the great sum. It had conditions. He had the allegiance to serve. He had to be a servant for the country, for the nation, for Israel with his life. It also conferred certain privileges along the way, like, as what's mentioned in Scripture, it was a crime to bind a Roman citizen. A crime to bind a Roman citizen. It was also a crime to beat a Roman citizen, uncondemned, one that had not been tried justly. It was also a crime to accuse a Roman citizen without the proper channels they went through to accuse one and to be a witness against him. So there was a lot of privileges with this buying his Roman citizenship, but also it entailed a lot of things that he was obligated to the Roman government. But there's something else we need to notice. We need to notice now the freedom that he could not buy. The freedom that he could not buy. Spiritual freedom cannot be purchased. Did you know that? Money, I don't care how much you got, you cannot buy your freedom from the power of sin. There's absolutely not enough money in the world to purchase your life from the power of sin. I don't care how much you got. There's a lot of people that try to slip in churches in the back door, however they can get in, just by coming and being friend to it. And then they think they can spend their money and they can buy their salvation, I guess we say, and we can call that, as they give their money. Money cannot buy freedom from the penalty of sin. Paul said in Romans 6:23, he talks about sin, and what it is to miss the mark. We are all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, he says, for the payment or the wages of sin is death. And that's not physical death. I used that this week in Aunt Gina's funeral. It is not physical death. It is spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. But that's not the end of the verse. I went to a funeral one time with Yvonne and her daddy and mama down in Florida, and he was a Mormon, and the preacher got up and he used some just parts of scriptures. That's what they do. They use parts of them to say what they want to say. And when he got to that one, he says, the enemy's come in and invaded us, and says the enemy is death, and says, for the wages of sin is death. But he didn't say anything else. I want to jump up and say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He didn't say anything about that. But the thing about it is, Paul wanted to understand that there is a payment for sin, and that is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Meaning, that being true, what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, there's only freedom that is possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. It's through him and him alone. He said in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you might be free. He didn't say might. He says you shall be free indeed. Now see, he had just said back up in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when he talked about the truth, he was referring to himself. And that truth means without one hint of error. One hint of error. He is truth. All the truth you need to know about the things of God, about who God is and what God would have in your life. And that's why he said, if the Son, therefore, the one who is truth, can make you free, you shall be free indeed. So, what did he do? What did he do? See, he experienced the shame for us. He experienced the shame for us. Did you know that? For all of us. The Bible says, cursed is the man who hangs upon the tree. Jesus took your curse and my curse. The shame of that experience there at the cross and before the cross, where they stripped him. I believe that's the reason Jesus cried like he did there in the garden. He knew what he was going to face, what he had to go through, the shame of that. That's why he sweat those drops like blood, or blood like drops of sweat. The shame he experienced for you and me. See, he took our shame and he gives us security and safety. Thank God for that. That should make a Baptist shout, should it not? When we think about him exchanging our shame and giving us a secure place in the kingdom of God with the rule and the reign of God. Not only that, he encountered the suffering for us. For us. I turn to Isaiah just a moment. Isaiah 53, I believe it is. Yes, it is. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 4. It says, surely, truly, truly. And remember now, Isaiah's prophesying this some 700, 760, 700, 800 years before Jesus ever comes on the scene. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Why? Look at the next verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus paid the cost for us. He suffered the shame for us. He encountered the suffering for us. As we saw just a clip of the movie the other night, and Brother Ivy brought that in the message. The suffering that Jesus went through, the pain and the agony that he went through, so that you and I could have eternal life. Jesus took your place and my place. If we learn understand this, Luke 19:10 says it. He says that he come for that purpose. That purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why the Son of Man came, and he come to seek and to save, to preserve those, to give us freedom that we can have life in Christ Jesus and through him alone. If you look at the sum of Paul's message, if you look at the sum of all the writings of the Apostle Paul, there's something that we need to understand. As we look at the summary, the Paul's message of salvation was a message of substitute. Jesus was his substitute. And let me tell you something. Jesus is our substitute as well. If there's one word that describes the Christian or Christianity, it is the word substitute, because that's what Jesus did. The one who was sinless died for the sinner. The one who was right before God, lived before God, the only one that really knew how to live the way God wanted, gave his life so that we could understand what life is all about. He took your place. He took my place. And my friend, that is the gospel message. Have you come to realize that tonight? Have you come to recognize and understand the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ tonight? If you have not, I would encourage you to do it before it's everlasting too late. See, the only way you can have it is to come to him and him alone. The song in the hymn book goes like this. Free from the law, oh happy condition, Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, oh sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh friend, now believe it. Christ, cling to the cross, the burdens will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Last verse goes this. Children of God, oh glorious calling, surely his grace will keep us from falling, passing from death to life at his call. Blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, oh sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh friend, now believe it. Cling to the cross, the burdens will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. He made possible freedom to really live life to its fullest. That's what he said in John 10:10. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he says, I have come that you might have life and that it might be full to the very extent and full of that abundant life, eternal life, everlasting life. Do you have that tonight? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and how you speak to us from and out of your word. We pray, Lord, that we would be people of the word, that we may be able to share with others we come in contact. We have, as a child of God, this freedom to really live life to its fullest. Help us, O God. No, Lord, have us, take us. And live it through us, Lord. This is our prayer, that those who come in contact with us will not see Marshall Dixon, will not see Robert Thornton, will not see Lamar Boyd, not see Jimmy Brown or any other of us, but they'll see Jesus Christ living in and through us. Oh God, tonight, would you make it possible so that we can live the way you would have us to. We know that you've already doomed it and deemed it for us. Help us to do it, Lord. If there's one here that's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, may this tonight they become and know the freedom that they can have in Christ Jesus is our prayer. In Jesus' strong name and for his sake, amen. Hymn number, Psalm number.